There will be people who will be happy either way, and there will be people who will be not happy either way. It's calendars. But that is the reason that it came forward, is it was born out of that. And there were people in the community who were also having that same sort of conversation, just kind of thinking about even just Thanksgiving, 5 days or whatever. And I mean, and there's no guarantee. I mean, we can have beautiful weather in February, we can have terrible weather. We can have beautiful weather in March, we can have terrible. I mean, that the weather thing is challenging, but yeah, often the March dates, and often they're put where they are because of basketball. So it helps because we have a lot of kids are traveling, and that of course is not going to be at all, because even if we end up with something, it's going to be later.
Can we move spring break then?
You still run in there's yeah, I mean,
Well, if we move it to
but that doesn't
May,
alleviate
April,
any,
and then
yeah.
someone has more at
It doesn't alleviate the trap. I mean, if there's a lot of issues, this is why calendars are so challenging, because you're trying to also deal with if people have made plans, what does that look like? That doesn't address that issue. We've done them later in April. I mean, there's, yeah, calendars are
I
so
think what's
different.
hard too is you go, at least from living, having a sibling, just having siblings in the education field, maybe Katie, you feel the same way too, that you start in September and you go September, October, and it's just this long haul till November. And then you come back from January and it's a long haul to April if we moved it to April versus March.
And how does this interrupt with like our Black scheduling as well? Because now you're cutting out days that are already limited in our high school, right?
But the
Number
number
of
of
days,
days
the same
isn't
number of
changing.
days.
It's six and it was six.
I'm
Yeah.
thinking about like how they're trying to power through things each week, and now we're cutting off a day every month
Or
of
the
that.
entire week.
Exactly. Like it's easier. Maybe it's not easier. I've never planned for a block schedule. I guess I can't say that. But I don't know. I'm still having a hard time with it. Because they're already rushing through things every week, is kind of the consensus we got a couple months ago.
Right, and if you have a spring break, then you stop for an entire week.
Yeah. It's a clean break there.
But you're still, it's the same class though, even after the break.
Well, I understand that. It's just that shorter week every month now to get the material done, especially if there's a quiz every Friday. Now it's a quiz on Thursday. How are you gonna get the material covered that week?
And that has been mentioned as well. And it's also there's challenges that are different for elementary age and challenges that are different for high school. So one calendar for all is also different for that very same reason. It is in your hands. We bring it to you.
I guess this might be a better plan, but to throw a monkey wrench at someone in people's plans this late in the game, I would need a really strong reason to do that. I guess it might be better for morale stuff, but to change plans this late in the season, which could affect families and courts, I guess I don't see a strong enough reason to change it personally. I'm going to vote no.
I feel terrible because the teachers were, I mean, you want like my instinct is to want to do whatever we can do that will make them happy because they're working very hard, and I want for them to know that we acknowledge that, and that's really difficult. I just it feels too short for me.
Somebody want to call the question then, unless we want to discuss it further? Or I can call it, unless anybody else wants to. Okay, motion's been made and seconded to adjust the calendar as presented. Mara, please call the roll.
Meg Whistler? No. Katie Holman?
No.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Cheryl Flowers?
No.
Jay Lister?
No.
Okay, motion fails 4-1. Okay, we'll move on to the next one, 12.3, student standardized assessment results.
Who's on there?
Bridget?
Hi.
Bridget. Oh, oh yes, Bridget. We are here. We can just hardly hear you.
And I don't know where they're coming from.
So the superintendent, along with Bridget Woodstock, will give us an overview of some of our current standardized assessment results from math as well as ACT.
Yeah, well, thank you for everything tonight. I just want to preface this by saying this was a collaborative effort. We had teachers helping us with this data, and Heather and Rick and Jenna and Jill Lenhard and Erica and I worked on this. And so we're going to start with some before we start into this too, I just want to say that and reiterate that we are one of the few schools in the state that is actually, you know, doing assessments in the school. And some schools are trying to do assessments with kids online, but it's very, very, very difficult. So remotely. So we are so lucky, and our kids are really making growth, and it's super exciting to see it quantified like this in with the data. So Heather is going to start. I think, Heather, are you willing to go into some of the MAP fluency, one of our new assessments? Heather, or hello? Did I lose you?
Oh, here we are. Can you hear us now?
I can hear you now. Sorry, I don't know what's wrong with my connection.
Okay, it was okay. Mara was muting you. You were talking, or us.
Oh, it's muting us.
Okay, all right, I love it. Okay, sorry.
We're back.
Okay.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you to Eliza and to Rachel today, just because Erica had sent this out last night. I didn't get a chance to look at it. Eliza came to us and was like, hey, I think a few things are not looking too great on here. And we think it looks great. It has beautiful colors. It has, like, pie graphs and everything. This is a new assessment, and so we don't even know how to read the assessment. We actually didn't even share the assessment with the parents at the conferences because we don't know how to read the assessment enough to answer questions back and forth. So I just want to point that out, that we have training that's coming on January 5th from 8:30 to 10:30 for our in-service, but we haven't had that training yet. Take into consideration that I know that when we recall information, I remember a whole lot of pictures and colors. And so your pictures and colors right now, that they're not representing everything that we need them to represent. So you're going to remember these pictures and these colors, and you're going to go back, well, 83%, well, that's not an accurate number. And I'll show you why here at this.
Okay. Do you want to go to the next
one? So kindergarten.
Thank you.
There are two parts to this test. There's a foundational skills, and then there's the oral reading. And what happens is when the student comes in, the first thing that any student says or sees is a paragraph. And so if they can read that paragraph, they go to the next level. If they can't read that paragraph, they go down to the next level. So kindergartners are definitely not reading that paragraph. There were some that tried, and they got, you know, that paragraph came up, and they were like, you know, and they were trying to pronounce those words, and some of them have those phonics skills to pronounce those words. But the majority don't, so they have these foundational skills. And the foundational skills that the kindergartner really are looking at are phonics and word recognition, listening comprehension, picture vocabulary, and phonological awareness. And so we were actually sitting with these students while they were doing that. It was Bridget and Rachel and myself that would go from class to class to class, and we would sit with these kids. This data right here is
I had looked at it and I went back to the kindergarten teacher and I said, okay, tell me if I'm correct on this. Because some of these students scored below and they weren't considered like an at-risk student. They weren't considered below. They just need somebody to go sit with them. So just keep in mind that 5 of these students that you see in red really shouldn't be in red. They need to be pulled out of there and they just need to have somebody sitting with them. But we didn't have 5 teachers to sit with them. We were sitting with the other 3 that needed to be sat with.
And so, they're 5.
So nobody, you don't see an oral reading fluency. You don't see oral reading over here as one of the pie charts right there. This is a strong kindergarten class coming in. This is a very strong kindergarten class. We have one student who actually took the oral reading, but the person that they were with was actually reading the test to them. So one student is over here, oral reading, but we'll fix that, and we'll fix it in the spring or in the winter. Everybody else did pretty good. There's things on there that we don't know. There's an NE score. I have no idea what that is really. I mean, it says no expectation, but I'm not really sure why. There's an NS score, no score. I'm not really sure what's going on there either. So when you look at kindergarten as a whole, they're pretty good.
Yep.
I think they're doing great. Lots of good growth in there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to add, Bridget?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Heather, it was a lot of fun. It was cool to have the kids experience this for the first time reading, you know, out loud with their little pilot headphones on and microphones. And it was, they were having a blast.
Yep. And I think another thing to say here too, is that it being a new assessment, but also, just this was the reason we moved to this too, was because it's more indicative of these foundational skills, but also the regular quote unquote MAP growth test that we use with the older kids that we'll talk about a little bit later is not as appropriate for a 5-year-old. And it was too long. It was it was not giving us good data. So that's another point to just make.
I think the first year that we took it, mm-hmm. we gave it to the kindergarten. We had people in here.
Yeah.
Sure.
Kids, teachers. We're not doing that again. So anyway, so we're excited about this, but it's new. We're in the infancy stages, but the kids did great. So, okay, first grade.
So there are 32 first graders. You're going to see these charts right here represent 31 of the first graders. Here's what happens, and this is why things tend. These are the foundational skills right here, so phonics and all this up here is foundational skills. When you go into that paragraph, there was one first grader who could actually read that paragraph. Therefore, they're not shown in here. So where it says level 5, exceeds, and level 5, there actually should be one student all the way across in there. But it does not read that one student in the foundational skills. So what you're seeing is 31 students. The graph that shows the oral reading, it says the key, all in blue, and it's just one hot blue pie graph because that student did very well as a first grader reading those oral readings.
I think the other thing that's important in this data as well is looking at those foundational skills. The reason they're important is because they are precursors to reading. And so when students have, and this is the beginning of the year, foundational being foundational, this is where you want them to grow in these. These are things that they need to be meeting and exceeding to be able to move into that oral reading fluency and to be able to become readers. So, you know, looking at meeting, understanding about having strong listening comprehension, being able to look at pictures and understand what those are and talk about those. I mean, 81% of the kids, that's a first grader should be looking at pictures and being able to talk about pictures. And that's an important foundational skill. And 81% of the kids that took it are meeting that, you know, so that's important, I think, to just keep that in perspective as well. Okay. Anything else on first grade, Bridget?
I just was curious, Heather, do you remember how long this assessment took? Was it like 20 minutes about?
It was anywhere from from 20 to 40, we found that students who did not pass that oral reading fluency passage, they actually took longer because it needed to go back down and assess each one of these areas individually, so it took them longer. Whereas the students that read that, they are assumed to already have all of these strategies.
Right. Okay.
So they didn't put the other direction.
Great.
Second grade, right here, there's 28 second graders, and this is data from 19 of those second graders. So the other 9 of those second graders, they all exceeded. So down there on level 5 and all they exceed, we should have nice percentages down there, but it doesn't show up because they are already reading at the oral reading grade. When I did meet with second graders or second grade teachers, one thing that they said is there should be a lot more kids over on the oral reading side. We had a lot of NS scores, so you can actually go into the system and you can click autoplay and you could listen to the students reading their passage. It will give you a words read per minute. It will give you all the, it will give you their AR scores. The system will give you which CBC words that they're on, which word family that they're on. It will do all that assessment and that data for cards and for them to see where they're going. The students who have severe speech, we can't hear them in this system. And so we think that it's giving them an NS score. Sometimes when they can't be heard, when their words aren't being pronounced fluently, and so it won't pick up that information, which there's a way to hand for it, but I don't know how.
We shall learn. And I think these are, again, just looking at some of those same foundational skills again and looking at where the students in second grade, this subset. You know, 89% of the kids, again, on the listening comprehension, that's a very high number of students that have a very strong base in that foundational skill. All the kids had what they needed for picture vocabulary. 95% are their phonological awareness, can they hear? I mean, those are all basic foundational skills to be able to read. So it's good data. Bridget, did you have anything else there?
No, I also wanted to highlight the listening comprehension on these second graders. That I thought that was outstanding.
And I guess if you like go back and look at all the picture vocabulary, this thing that what I had said is that we recall pictures and we recall those colors. So everybody's brain just goes right to the picture vocabulary because that's what we're recalling. So just keep that into consideration when you're looking at the scores of these.
Will we be able to use this for like dyslexia? Kind of stuff early on for intervention?
We will be able to find where that, like most students with dyslexia, the phonics, the word recognition, that's where we're going to see it a lot. So then we come to second and third grade and looking at that, yes.
And then knowing that this is that one assessment in time and knowing if there's those things that are really those anomalies or like some kids might have really high, you know, phonological awareness and not have that, you know, that's that discrepancy. It's like, oh, there's something else going on here. And then kind of having that opportunity to have more, dig a little deeper with some of the kids that might need that, you know, to determine that. Okay, next one, Mara, I think this is the one about oral reading fluency.
Yeah, so this is actually 9 students of the second grade, so 9 of the 28.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the absent 9 that you saw from the foundational skills. This is the 9 that went on to the oral reading.
So it's just, you know, that's why we were wanting, that got brought up when Eliza was like, wait a minute, all the kids aren't in there. Like the chart stayed the same, but it was like, we don't have all the kids. We need to know where those other 9 kids are, and they're here, you know, they're reading. They're not in that other. So that was what we were number crunching, I guess, so it was clear. All right. It was good, though. We got it, though.
You think they would, like, reflect that and exceed
Yeah, that's where we were. We were like, well,
why don't they say that this percentage exceeds, and now let's dig deeper into those guys.
Mm-hmm. And those are all great questions that we're going to ask them.
Yeah.
It's on the list.
Oh, you have to push the little button on the report.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It, like a
it could be. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, third grade.
Yeah, so third grade. We have 38 students in third grade. What you see on the left-hand side under listening, comprehension, picture, vocabulary is 6. So that's a representation of 6 students.
So these pie charts are really very small sample. That's 6 kids.
It's 6 because the rest of them exceed?
Are reading. We're able to go right to the oral reading fluency assessment. So this is the part that we were wanting to really talk about because that's what I mean, you look at those and you're like, oh, well, that's great. They're solid. That's good. They look good, you know, but it's 6 kids. It's not.
Right. And it's 6 kids that are really like that's grade level or is that below grade level?
They are actually at grade level. They're meeting the standards of that. So they meet. There's one student is 17% yellow.
Right. Yeah. There. So you think that's a percentage, but it's 1.
Yeah. And then over on the right hand side, that is the other 32 students. And you can see that if those 32 students were over on the left hand side, our exceed percentage would be great.
Mm-hmm. But they're meeting what they need to in those foundational skills, which is important. So, okay. All right. Anything else on third grade?
There are a few students over on the left-hand side. I mean, just take into consideration, that some students just need somebody to sit by them. They need somebody to sit by them to keep them focused and on task with this assessment. So I have my list of who we need to sit by for all grade levels, which that's what we'll be doing.
That's right. Okay, any questions for Heather about K-3? Okay, all right. Okay, Bridget, you want to do this one?
Sure, yeah, I can talk about the peaks. What Heather was discussing was the peaks, the MAP fluency assessment. And so that is a new one, like she said, this year. The one that we've been doing now for a few years is the MAP growth assessment. And it does have, we were doing it from grades like 2 all the way up through grades about 10. And so the next set of data that I'm gonna share with you are from grades 3 through 9 actually. But before we get there, I just wanted to mention this linking study that came out this summer that links some of the MAP data with cut scores on our PEAKS assessment, which is our summative assessment that we take in the spring. So this is something that we'll be able to use and will help guide us a little bit to help us, notice kids that are, if they're not on track to pass the PEAKS, this is just another helpful piece of data that we can use when we are creating small groups or creating interventions. So that being said, I think we can go on to the next slide, Mara, maybe?
And I think, can I interrupt really quick?
Oh, please.
Bridget, just to say,
yes, of course.
Just to say that, you know, we did not take PEAKS last spring.
We
know that, but just saying that out loud, and we don't know what the state assessment is going to look like this spring. We don't know because they don't have a plan for how to have security and all those things. If there's so many kids at home, mm-hmm. that they're trying to figure out how that could be equitable. So we don't know what that's going to look like in the future, or what even just for this year, we don't know what it will be. So that's just something else important, and that's why we really the MAP assessment. We all should be having a third party assessment, which that's what this is. And it's designed to help us and families and kids see where they need, see their growth and find specific targeted areas, because that summative assessment is 1 day, 1 point. And it's very difficult to use it for instruction. It's not like, it doesn't really break things down to skills. You don't do it multiple times through the year. You know, kids and teachers and can't even see, like, it's one day. So they are looking at the MAP assessment potentially at the state level to be used or something like it, rather than having that one day, one shot kind of summative. So that's also being discussed. So anyway, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bridget.
No, that's okay. I'm glad you brought that up, Erica, because that's an important point that it was stated just a week ago when I was in my training with district test coordinators in the Department of Ed, that the state has made a commitment to, if we do an assessment, it's going to be in person, the summative assessment. They're committed to that. And so we won't be expecting kids to take that summative assessment virtually. So it's you know, it's out, still out. We don't know yet. So we're just going to plan for it like we're going to do it. So anyway.
Sounds good.
Okay. So this next slide. So now we're going to get into a little bit of the growth data. And this is a slide that represents grades 3, 4, and 5 for the math area. And the top part of the graph there is comparing two periods, fall of 2019 and fall of 2020. So, and again, the great thing about MAP is that it's an assessment that is, the scale is the RIT score. And so this RIT is just a number or a waypoint, like Erica was explaining on the radio today. I really liked her explanation there. In that it's a number that's going to, it's a scale that will work throughout your career. It's like inches on the wall when you measure yourself. And so as you start out, you're going to grow really fast. And then as you get older, you know, those growth points are going to be smaller and smaller, and it's going to be harder to make those kinds of larger leaps, if you will. So, so you'll notice that too, as kids get older, they don't observe as much growth. So anyway, what I've got here in the middle of the chart in the highlighted yellow is their average score for this fall. And then if you look over to the right, still in the middle of that chart, the percentile ranking. And that percentile ranking is as our students compared to other students across the United States. And so there are millions of kids, millions of tests, that come into this sample. And there was a new norm that that was just happened here in 2020. So that's also good information that they do a norming study every 5 years. NWEA does, Northwest Evaluation Association. So and the other point to notice on this too is the growth. So what we're looking for again is growth with our kids, and we can see that those third graders, you know, their observed growth was 11 points on the average from last fall to this fall. And then the fourth graders, 12 points, and the fifth graders, 10 points. So that's really important to see that growth. And that's what we really talk to kids about is focusing on the growth. And you are where you are, and that's okay, but we want to see growth. So every kid makes we talk to kids about, you know, how many points would you like to grow, and let's focus on some growth, and here are some strategies to try to do that. So, and again, those are just little test-taking strategies, but those are conversations that we do have with kids. The bottom graph is a nice bar graph that just shows what I just explained. Those diamonds are the grade level norm projected growth that MAP has according to the nation. But, and you can see our third grade is just a little bit under, but fourth is right there, and so is fifth. So we are in the ballpark. We are actually hitting home runs out of the ballpark in some of these. So I'm super proud of our kids. They really take it seriously, and it's modeled by our teachers too. Everybody's really invested, and the kids just know exactly what to do. It's really awesome.
And I think it's important to focus on those conversations that do happen with kids, because they do, they like, nobody loves a test, but I mean, they like being able to see where they are and what skills they're, you know, like, oh, I did really well in this. I am really good at that. I can see that. And every kid has those. And so being able to focus on those and talk about those, and then say, well, look, this is, you know, you did, this is how well you did here. what would this be an area that you might want to grow in, you know? And kids can look at that. They understand it. They do. I mean, they don't have to love it all the time, but they do understand it. And those summative assessments don't provide, I mean, they're not informative to kids either. There's nothing to really go take it anywhere. It's not specific. It's not necessarily helpful to talk about with kids. So those conversations are important to have with kids. So.
Yeah, I forgot to mention too that these tests are adaptive, and that they adapt, the levels adapt as the kids go through the test. So if they're getting answers correct, then it will bump them up a little bit, make it a little bit harder. If they continue to, you know, answer correctly, it continues to bump them up and make it more challenging. And then it will plateau out, you know, after they may miss a few, and then they'll get something right. And then, so that's really important too, also to talk to kids that they're expected to get some wrong. And that's how the system works. So, you know, it will level out and give them a developmental level that's appropriate for where they are. And they're measured against themselves. So these scores follow them personally through the years. And that's another beautiful thing about this assessment, which is not like the summative assessment. The summative assessment is just, you know, static. It's a place in time, again, like Erica said. So this is a really good assessment. In terms of assessments, as far as they go. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Go to the next slide, which I think actually talks a little bit about the comparison between peaks and MAP.
Yeah. So this is a chart that just, again, goes back to that linking study. So, and this is just information to help us teachers to see, like, where our kids are in terms of, like, these are the fall scores. So our kids were, like, in third grade at a 187.6 on the average. And according to the study, it said that they should be at about a 189 in order to, you know, pass the peaks. So on the math, so we are right there. We're very close on the average. And that's really, really good news. So, and again, you know, we haven't been in school we've had a 6-month hiatus and we're back in school now. And so I think we are right on track. We are doing really well. So our kids in the fourth grade are right there. And then in the fifth grade, just a little bit underneath too. So I think again, it's just information that we keep in mind, and it's good to have it's better to have information, I think, than to not.
Next one.
Okay. I hope I'm not talking too much. This goes to the fourth and fifth grade for the reading growth test. So we didn't include the third grade because third grade took the reading fluency test. They didn't take the growth test. So their scores aren't reflected in here, but our fourth and fifth graders, you can see the highlighted areas are the fall 2020 scores and the growth. So for our fourth grade, they grew 21 points from last year, and our fifth graders grew 9 points. And they went from, you know, from like those fourth graders went from the 34th percentile to the 85th percentile nationally ranking them. And the fifth graders went from 74 to 81. So that's, again, huge growth. And I just want to highlight that high percentile too. Our kids are doing very well. So it's very impressive.
Okay, next slide.
Next slide does the comparison then with the reading in the PEAKS reading test. So to explain this a little bit, they're saying that if they got a one, let's go to the fourth grade. So if you had a 200 on your peak on your MAP test, that you should probably pass the PEAKS reading assessment. And our kids on the average had a 204. So they are, again, knocking it out of the park. And then in the fifth grade, our kids had a 210, and, you know, the predicted RIT score is a 208 for passing. So again, you know, this is good information for our teachers. Maybe the next slide, we're going to the language score. Now the language is like grammar, punctuation, spelling. And our fourth and fifth graders, again, showed good growth of 16 and 18 points, respectively. at the 65th percentile and the 72nd percentile compared to the same age peers in the United States. So excellent growth there. And again, this just highlights how well and how seriously our kids take this test. So it's just, it's really, really, really impressive. Then we go to the middle school, and the middle school, their growth wasn't as great. And again, I think some of this has to do with, sometimes we will see a drop from fifth to sixth. That's not unusual. And the math is also extremely challenging. I think that it's just, it's something we know and it's something we're working on. But so you've got, let's see, sixth graders went from, they've 214 up from a 211. There was a 225 in seventh grade up from a 220. 231 average writ in eighth grade up from a 225. So we had some growth there. Observable growth was 3 points in the sixth grade, seventh grade was 4, and eighth grade was 6 points. And again, this is just really good information. We can dive down individually and see what's going on with our kids, and it's good information.
Well, and I think it's also that point of reminding ourselves about those large growth, large spurts of growth, that this is not necessarily the time when that happens with
yep.
middle school age. So it's, you know, we want to keep the needle moving though. So that's what's important about that. And observed growth in the eighth graders are kind of coming back out of that again. So I'm sure Mr. Dormer could talk about sixth, seventh, and eighth grade.
Well, I can chime in, Bridget. Again, this is a new test that we choose as well. I realize this is an adaptive test, but when we choose it, this is the same test the high school kids take. So it's a math, for math and reading, it's a 6+. For language, though, it is a 212, but it's a 6+.
Thank
plus
you.
Test. They start, remember, this is the one.
Yeah,
they're
start, thank
they're you. Hammer test that sophomores could miss, and then it adapts as they go. So it does adjust their level, but it is technically this harder kind of upper level test. Mm-hmm.
You're right, it is that 6+.
That's a good point. Thank you, Rick.
And the challenge with the math that does always come, and I know Mr. Tom, we've had this conversation with our math teachers, and it's challenging for them to do curriculum too, because kids start to splinter off into those algebra 1, you know, algebra 2, it starts to, kids get those areas of, it just starts to splinter out. It's just what math does. And so it's been challenging, I think, for our teachers to work with that curriculum, create that curriculum that works within those standards, you know. It's been challenging, and our kids are working hard and our teachers are working hard.
Yeah.
And there is growth there, which is good.
Yeah. I like what you said, Erica. We're just going to keep the needle moving over and celebrate that growth. So that's what we want to see, is making sure kids are growing.
Can I make a comment? It's interesting though, on the math, that the grade below fifth to sixth, there's such a dramatic
mm-hmm.
drop in that
mm-hmm.
that we're well below the observed growth on the national average.
Mm-hmm.
And is that indicative of the transition to middle school, or is it the curriculum, or is it a combination of both?
I think it's that assessment as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Heather,
you're going to see that from third grade to fourth grade. So this year you're going to see that as well in the winter.
Yeah.
The spring, when the third grade takes the math growth reading portion of the test
mm-hmm.
and not the reading fluency.
Yeah, I was looking more at the fifth to sixth grade. Fifth to sixth grade.
Well, you're going to see it as well. Like,
okay.
The test differences, you see it between second
yeah.
and third, because
okay.
second grade follows a K2 test.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Third grade, they go
okay.
to 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And that's that same conversation about the 6+, and that's why you see like the eighth grade is completely on that projected growth norm.
So then, does the test start then with the assumed age that they're at, like what grade level they're at?
It starts, I think, at sort of that sixth grade.
Because there's a whole psychology
level.
Of taking a test that if you start doing poorly immediately, like I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, and then it
yeah.
just sends you off onto this versus.
It adapts quickly to that.
Okay.
To, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty fast.
They do, but it adapts quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is what is better, I mean, which is what's helpful about those assessments versus that those one-shot summatives that don't mm-hmm. adapt at all, and you get in three or four questions and you're like, I'm out. I, you know, which some kids will do. They're just done.
Yeah.
You know, and this adapts. So, and our kids do. They push through this. They really do.
And I saw this as a parent. I saw this with my daughter. At least she was destroying the elementary test, mm-hmm. and she got into middle school. I mean, she did very, very well. And part of it was based on reading with math. And, but got into middle school, and her scores certainly plummeted for lots of all the reasons we're discussing. Mm-hmm.
Those first couple of years.
Yeah, and then they pick it up. So.
Fairly typical. Okay.
Yeah, that's a.
And then there's the comparisons there too, which that shows up there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that shows up there. Yep. Yeah, so you can see that we're a little, our average is a little bit under that that predicted passing score on the peaks. And the other thing to note here too, I think, is that the peaks math test is extremely rigorous. It's been a transition for us all across the state. So it's one of the topics of conversation at every conference I go to about the PEAKS math test. So anyway, we're just gonna keep put our head down and keep working on it.
Something's keeping those averages high, though. Some kids are, I guess, nationally, right? Is that the test is national?
Well, but
or is this just state? Are we just our comparisons
back,
are sorry?
Back up again, Mara.
I've forgotten we're comparing ourselves.
But it's not. So the passing RIT score is uh-huh. that. I mean that yeah, it's that's definitely the goal. But yes, no, it's an issue. I mean this is mm-hmm. nationally.
Okay.
Normed.
Mm-hmm. That's what
math
I thought.
Scores are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay,
and then we go into our reading growth, and our kids here are doing extremely well in the middle school. So their growth there was again not really large numbers of growth. They're 7, 5, and 6 respectively, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. But the percentiles, you can look at that percentile ranking, and they went, you know, up 73 percentile and 84 and 84th percentile for a 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in reading growth. So they're knocking it out of the park there. I love that.
I think we can
really celebrate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, and the next slide.
And then this is our comparison. With the linking study and the peaks and our RIT scores. And so you can see respectively there, you know, our average scores are higher. So more of our kids are on track to pass that peaks reading assessment. So those correlate. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. And then the next slide here, sorry, I'm flipping back and forth. So then we've got the language assessment again, and that again is the punctuation, grammar, and spelling. And our scores are a little bit lower and a little bit under the projected growth there. So for me, this could mean a couple of different things. I think part of it is, you know, I think our kids probably didn't, if what they were doing is spending a lot more time probably reading and not necessarily doing wordly wise and things like that over the summer. So I think that part of this is reflected in our hiatus with COVID, because I was thinking about these scores and the fact that we didn't grow as much in language usage. So that's a possibility, but that's, I think it's an educated guess.
Well, it's good information again for us, I think, just to continue as we continue to focus on that transition again from elementary to middle school. It's a, you know, it's a big one. And that assessment is reflective of that, I believe, as well. It's a big shift.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then we go to the high school. So in the high school, we have all of the freshmen take the MAP growth reading and math test twice a year. And this chart shows that our freshmen in the area of math showed improvement and moved from the 85th percentile last year to the 91st percentile this year, this fall. So that's phenomenal. And again, I mean, that's really great. Mm-hmm. So, and again, that's that.
In a normal year, we would test through geometry is what we usually do, because that's kind of the standard that all kids would know geometry. This year, we just did the freshman because of conflict schedules. Normally, we test through geometry, and then we'll also pick out some of our kids that are needing additional resources to make sure they're continuing to grow to get caught up to the geometry level. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Rick. That's really, yeah. We've adjusted it a little bit this year and just, like you said, focused on our freshmen.
Okay, next slide.
And the next slide shows the reading. So the percentile stayed just about the same. We just dropped one percentile. And you can see that observed growth is only 2 points. And so, you know, again, our observed growth is getting harder and harder as we get older to, you know, show a lot of growth. So, and that's another thing too, that's discussed as we test these older kids, that, you know, one or two questions off, and then that can put them on another track. And so it gets harder as they get, you know, more advanced to show growth. And so I'd still say that, you know, 84th, 85th percentile is fantastic. So, and there was no linking study for the peaks with ninth grade. It just went from third grade through eighth grade. So I don't have that piece of data. So that's the sort of the synopsis of the MAP assessment this fall. We're going to be taking it again in February. And so we'll have some more information for you about where our kids are at maybe in March.
Yep.
The March meeting. So
okay. Next slide.
The next slide talks about reviews our ACT scores. And one of our requirements for testing is that we offer a career and college readiness assessment for our juniors each year. And we, and in Petersburg, we decided to, you could choose it from a number of assessments, and some schools choose the ASVAB, some schools choose another career assessment. I'm blanking on the name of that right now, but anyway, we used to do it.
Work keys.
Thank you, Erica. Yep, the work keys. But we've chosen to go with the ACT, which, as most of you know, is a really quite a rigorous assessment, and it's more. It's typically for those, you know, college bound kids, but we have all of our kids in Petersburg, take that assessment. So all kids are included. And, last spring it was canceled along with, you know, everything else. And so that assessment was moved to this fall. And so we had our actual seniors this year who would normally take it their junior year. They took it this fall. So this data, we took the data from our Petersburg students of 2019. So this was, you know, a spring and a half ago or whatever, and that we were able to compare it with our, with Alaska. So the Alaska data there is in the middle column. So across the state, so comparing us to the state, you can see that our students on the composite score, we've performed higher than the average in Alaska. And then as you go down the list there in math, you know, we've scored higher at a 20.2 as opposed to a 19.9 for most students in Alaska. And science was a little bit lower. English was higher and reading was higher also. So, and then our students this fall, we just got these scores back. These scores are, we don't have an Alaska average yet because not all the schools have posted their data yet. So that we probably won't get that data until May, I don't think, or June. But our scores there have, you'll see they went down a little bit, but I think that you know, in consideration of all that's happened in the last 9 months, you know, due to the pandemic, and then switching also, you know, to virtual learning in the spring, our scores there are really exceptional. And these students also, another distinction to make is that these students who took that assessment this fall, only about a half of them are in an English class that's focusing on those skills and those and practicing writing those essays. So that's something else also to consider, that they weren't really getting a lot of practice before the assessment. So there are many little things to consider when you look at these. Sometimes it's hard to share data and to be able to explain it accurately, but anyway, we're doing the best we can.
Well, it's a picture, I think, and I think it's important to remember that that's an assessment that you do take in the spring, and typically, and that you're in the rhythm and the swing of that, and so taking it in the fall is disrupted. And I think it will be interesting when we get the Alaska information. You know, we're planning to do more of this and be able to talk about this information with you and with parents and just with people, you know, because it's important. And our kids did a great job. They did a great job. So it'll be interesting to see what the Alaska average looks like when it comes out. And I think they have an opportunity to take it again, don't they? Can they take the ACT again this year or not? Is that they're still offered on Saturdays?
Yeah.
Right.
I think Jenna is online too. If she she might want to chime in here. I apologize, Jenna, if I talked over you.
Jenna.
Is.
There she is. We can see her.
Sorry, I just stepped away, so I just missed what you said.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I just said that maybe you wanted to chime in here and explain some things. I kind of went ahead and just explained it, but.
No, I think you really covered it. I think we're at a great advantage here just by being able to have the test happen and to get these scores and this feedback, and for our students to have these scores to submit to colleges. And really they just reflect what an amazing, you know, educational experience we provided during a pandemic. The schools just really show that our kids are sticking with the content and making things happen. We didn't stall, we kept moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's really important to point out. Yep, we've held the bar really high, and we've asked kids to, you know, continue to strive and work towards that bar, that really high expectation bar. And our teachers are amazing, and our attendance, you know, last spring, I want to highlight that too. Our attendance virtually was just amazing. Other schools around you know, to the north and to the south of us, you know, we're having real difficult just getting their kids online, and our attendance was phenomenal. So anyway, I think we're doing the right thing here.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the last slide there, Jenna and Jill Lenhard, they got these exam results, the AP exam results this summer, and we had some really great celebrating there because these scores are amazing. Jenna, are you still on? Do you want to talk about this?
Be muted now.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm on here. This spring we had three different AP exams happening, and we were just thrilled to receive the scores of our seniors that took the AP language exam. They just did exceptionally well.
The sample size there for people that are out there listening, but just the 14 students that took that out of the 702 in the state. You can see the scores there of our school had scores of 3 or higher. 93% of our kids had that, which is amazing. The average was a 4 5 is the highest one. So
yeah. Yeah, we just yeah.
Credit and,
yes, yeah. We had a lot of high scores, and a lot of students are able to take those AP exam scores and advance into a higher level class and use that score for college credit.
Okay. And I think the next slide is a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Anybody have any questions for Bridget or Jenna or Erica? Thank you very much. I think it was pretty helpful, and I'm sure hopefully we'll hear some more in the spring once you get more data.
Yeah. Keep showing the growth. That's the goal.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to 12.4 discussion item, which is the superintendent evaluation and goals, usually on our board master calendar in January. We have the superintendent's evaluation and her goals. So we need to, I guess, set up a time, our evaluation process. I did email you all today. Hopefully you got it. Hopefully you got that one. It's a PDF, so you can print it off and handwrite it, or I offered also, I can send it through DocuSign where you can just type your answers.
And I can change it into a fillable PDF.
Oh, you can.
If you want.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause that was my problem with DocuSign. The bullet points were like where you would mark something. You can't, you have to pick one, and I have to preload it in. So if you have the capability of the picking and choosing,
I can just make a blank space that you guys can write in.
That's what I did today.
Put into a Word document if your computers are more familiar with Word, you can just pre-type.
Okay. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I prefer to type than write. but if I'm just asking for it, maybe you guys, if you have an opportunity to do it, work on it and get it back to me at the end of the month, maybe in January, because if we have an executive session board meeting with Erica, we can go over our evaluation. By then, so it'll give me a little bit of time to put it all together. Do you want to pick a date? Do we want to do it before a board meeting, after a board meeting, on a separate night, or is that too far in advance? Should we talk about it in December? We are in December.
We're in December.
What am I talking about? time warp.
Oh,
my goodness. Okay, so let's look at the calendar then. January. So it would be the 12th of January would be our next board meeting. I know that's far out there, folks, but do we want to pick it on a different evening?
I think we have done that before,
yeah, just,
haven't we?
Instead of trying to cram it all in one evening.
Or whatever.
A different evening.
Okay. Do we want to pick a Tuesday, though? Just because we're all used to meeting on Tuesday, or right now my January is wide open, so it's up to you guys. If anybody has any conflicts or.
Okay. And we want to do it before?
We don't have to.
We
just need to do it in January. I mean, we should do it in January.
So it's not, yeah, because it's not a.
It's a board policy that says that we evaluate you in January. It doesn't say on a certain date.
And it can be after.
Yeah, because there's no
it
action.
It can be after your school board meeting,
yeah.
And then you can give the report at the February.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
There's no action with it.
Do you want to just, should we just pick the 19th?
Yeah, because it's the holidays and
it's
hard to think that too far ahead.
That's the in-service day, kids coming back, but if we do it after, that'd be good.
Okay,
so let's just say the 19th at this point at 6. Do you want to do it at 6 o'clock, same time as our board meetings? Okay.
Can that be at the district office then?
Yes, since it would be an executive session, we don't need to probably accommodate any.
So really it's just the space if you want to be that close in there. We can still use this space, we just don't have to be in.
That's true.
I mean,
okay.
Right? Does that work?
Yep.
Okay. We can just put it on the calendar and
keep it here. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that.
Or block it out, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know what else would be happening. Maybe a senior meeting or something. Senior parents. Maybe.
Okay. January 19th, 6 p.m. Most likely in the library. With us. It's going to go into a clue. Additional comments from board members. I want to know about the cats versus dogs vote.
Yeah.
So do we need to, what is that?
It's on the Stedman. What's up, Stedman?
Oh! They voted on what they...
Well, here's your form, so you can take your vote.
We can do our vote. Mm-hmm. Everybody's up here. I love it.
So we just need to vote. They want to know what our opinion is.
Right?
Okay, so after the meeting, come vote.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments? Upcoming dates and media announcements. The Petersburg School District, just as a reminder for those listening, academic and activities calendars can be viewed on the school website at pcs.us. Ever-changing. Future agenda items. I guess we need to look at anything on policy, but we'll keep the travel mandate on there, or travel protocol, excuse me. Could be changing, maybe not, I don't know. And then, of course, that's a separate thing. Okay, any other new business? Seeing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Could I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Meg. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Good.